Look at my message. What does the title say? Got to keep on moving, don't we? God kept me up all night. So y'all better help amen me. Because he kept me up all night with this message a couple nights ago. I mean, literally, I didn't go to bed at 6 o'clock. I just couldn't sleep. And he kept saying, you got to keep on moving. Where, you know, the one thing the devil wants you to do is to stop your progress and even to go backwards. But God's word is clear that we got to keep on moving. No matter what season we're in, no matter what diagnosis we get, no matter what tragedy hits our life, no matter what trial comes up, we got to keep moving. Because see, if we don't keep moving on, we miss out on those opportunities God has waiting on us. If we fail to keep moving on, we miss out on those open doors that we just don't go beyond. We got to keep moving. The devil says, just give up. God says, just give in to him and let him keep moving you on. The devil says that it's never going to work out, never going to change, always been this way, always done it that way. It's what it is. It's your lot in life. Boo-hoo, whine. I'm a victim, right? When God says, quit acting like a victim and start acting like a victor, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We are not victims because Jesus paid the full price up on Calvary, and that blood was spilt for us. How can we say we're a victim when God says, I gave you everything. I gave you eternal life. I die that you may never die or taste death ever, because I paid that price. So we're not victims, we're victors. And we got to keep moving on. And life is hard. Church, I understand. I've been hit by curveballs. I've been hit by fastballs. I've been hit by changeups, you know, where I think I'm out of the way and boom, it still hits me. I have been hit by everything possible. And you know what? God keeps reminding me, look, you got to keep marching. You got to keep moving. As Bruce sings that song, I'm on a battlefield for the Lord, right? I'm going to battle until I die. I'm on a battlefield for God. Onward Christian soldier, the old hymn, right? Onward Christian soldier. That's what he wants to do. We keep marching. We don't give up because the enemy looks so big and bad. The enemy's not near as big as God is. The enemy's not near as large as what our God is. God can do anything. He can do the impossible. Just trust him. He can do that. So we've got to keep moving on. So don't let the devil keep you stuck in one place. Ecclesiastes 3:1. To everything, there's a season. We know that, right? We're getting ready to transition now from summer to fall. For some, we love that season. For others, you don't like that season. But we're in a transition. You'll be seeing the days get shorter and the days get cooler and the leaves start changing a little bit. All that life's going to start dying out, which even in that death state looks beautiful because God's hand's on it. And we'll travel the mountains, and y'all miss a few Sundays because you're up in the mountains on the weekends. You know, look at the leaves, and Sunday morning is the only time I can do anything. I understand. Yeah. But anyway, y'all be going to mountains. You'll be doing all this stuff, and you'll be looking at all the beautiful leaves and the trees, and, oh, you'll be using words like this. Feel that brisk air. Look at that. Some of you will say this. Look at that fall sky. Don't the sky just look different in the fall? It's got a different kind of blue than it does in the summer. And then you'll be talking like this. Won't be long, we're getting snow. Won't be long, we turn the old heat on. Won't be long, we'll be cranking the old furnace up. Why? You're transitioning. And you know what? Fall's a good time, too. We may enjoy summer. All the sun and the kids being out of school. And all the good stuff we like. But then fall has benefits, too. Fall has football. And that's pretty good. So we all got seasons that we can take something out of. So whatever season you're in, you still have joy because God's in your season. That's the key. If you know God's in your season, he's not left you alone. Even if it's a bad season, God, you're still there. And you know where I'm at. You know what season I'm in. And I'm still going to trust you because, see, our faith should not be defined by our victories. Our faith should be defined by who we believe in. Who do you believe in more, God or sickness? God or poverty? God or divorce? God or tragedy? God or death? Which one do you believe in more? God, I believe in you. I believe in you no matter what I see, no matter what I hear, no matter what I feel, no matter what I face, I believe in you that much more because you're God and you've proven time and time again that you'll do it again. You've proven time and time again, just like you had the children of Israel, all them plagues, none of them touched them. Yeah, they didn't believe. When they was thirsty, you had water come out of a rock. When they were hungry, you had manna come down out of heaven. God, you proved yourself. Their shoes didn't wear out, and they didn't grow sick. And guess what? You did what you said, because one day they were there. The promised land they entered, just like you said they would. And they had victory and established their nation and their promised land, just like you said it would happen, because God was in it. Everything, there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There's a purpose for every thing we battle. There's a purpose for every cycle of life we go through. And we sure don't like going through that storm. And we sure feel like saying, God, now, if we could be honest as Christians, how many of us have said this? Don't raise your hands. Lord, I serve you. I give my offering to you. I'm at church every time the door's open. I pray every day. I praise you. I testify about you. I witness to you. Why am I going through this? It doesn't seem fair. These evil, nasty, unbelieving people seem to have all the blessings, all the glory, and all the fame. And I'm stuck with all the misery and all the pain. It doesn't seem fair. And we've asked ourselves that. But what we must understand is that Jesus does not leave us alone, and that our final destination, our end result, is going to be the glorification, full glorification of our bodies, our souls, our minds, and everything else. That's the end result. We know where we're going to end up at. See, other folks don't know where they're going to end up at. They don't have that assurance. They may have money now, fame now, everything seems to be good now. But what happens when this life ends? What do they go into? What is 70 years on this earth compared to eternity? We know where we're going. We know what God has prepared for us. He said that. I go prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. I go to prepare that place. Calvary was that place to give us that place of refuge forever. So we got to keep on moving. The Bible says to press toward the mark of the high calling, the prize of Jesus Christ. Keep pressing. The Bible also says don't be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You know, be steadfast. We run this race, church, with vigilance. We run it with a focus. We run it steadfast, knowing, you know what? The devil's not going to keep me down. I'm going to quit talking bad. I'm going to keep speaking bad. I'm going to stop confessing bad and start speaking what God says in his word that I am an overcomer. I'm more than an overcomer, the Bible says, to them that are in Christ Jesus. I'm going to start speaking what God says to me, that if I say in this mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea, it shall be done. Get our eyes on the one who is. And that is our King and our Lord, who has not lost a step in power or a step in rank or a step in authority. He's the same living God he was that Peter walked in the water with, the same living God that blew in that upper room and blew the Holy Spirit in that place. He is the same God that was alive then. He's still alive now. And nothing in this world or this season is going to change who God is. Just trust him. He's my God. I may not feel him the way I want, but he's still God. I mean, I might not see that sun today, but it's there. The clouds may cover, but I know without a doubt that sun rose this morning. I don't have to see it to know it's there. I don't have to see God to know he's there. I know he's there. I know he lives in me. I know he cares for me. I know he wants victory for me. So I got to keep on moving and quit stopping and letting the devil keep getting me distracted. Take two steps forward, and all of a sudden I'm three steps back. I take two steps forward, he knocks me three steps back. We got to keep on moving and keep on pressing and keep on going forward, regardless of what we see, because the finish line is for God's people, and every one of us are going to cross that line at some point. So we keep on pressing through. Don't give up. Don't give in to the enemy. Don't listen to those lies. Keep on going. You say, I used to have an anointing, preacher. I just don't walk in that no more. Keep on moving. Press back into that thing again. Pray like you prayed 20 years ago. Talk like you talked 20 years ago. Dance like you danced 20 years ago. Lift them hands and say, God, I give you all praise and glory. And see what don't happen in your life. See if God don't move and move upon you in a special way and give you what you need. Keep on moving. Man, the devil wants to hold you back. He wants to hold you back, and we want to play the victim. There is none of us that are victims anymore. We used to be bound by the law. The law kept us out of that covenant place, but no more. Man, the blood of Jesus was spilled, and the tomb is empty, and the throne is filled with the glory of God. And we no longer have any excuse to say, why me? Oh, we ought to say, God, why me? Why would you call my name? Why would you choose me as a vessel? Why would you pass my way? Why would you knock on my heart? God, why me? That should be our thing. Because I think that many times, God, in all of my ugliness, in all of my futility, in all of who I am, why would you love me so much? All the mistakes I make, all the bad thoughts that I have, all the wrong words I say, but yet you called me in 1980. You called me by name. Without it being a mistake, you drew me into your presence, and you saved my soul, and you filled me with your Holy Spirit, and you changed my life forever. And now I know where I'm going. I know the road ahead of me. I know my destination. It is the glory of God forevermore. I will never be forsaken by God. He will never leave me. He will be with me
to the end of the age, the end of the world. Death can't stop God from being my God. Tragedy can't stop God from being my God. Nothing can stop God from being my God because he's already there and he's already my God. He is there. I keep moving on. I got to keep moving on. We let tragedy of life, you know, pull us back. And we all go through seasons. You know, everybody has seasons. A child, teenage years are horrible for most teenagers. They have that season to get through. Then you get in your 20s, start settling down and trying to find who you are. Then you get middle age. You got a whole new crisis there. You know, then you get old. And I mean, I don't mean to be respectful. You get older. And then all of a sudden you're like, man, this ain't a very good season either. Everything hurts when I move. I got to get help getting off the couch and help getting on the couch. I mean, I can't do nothing. You know, so all of a sudden we're going through that season. We're like, my God. But you know what? In every season, God is faithful. In every season, isn't it amazing how in your most darkest moment, it seems like God has the greatest strength for you? How you can have peace in that moment when you shouldn't have peace. That's why the Bible says he gives us peace that passeth all understanding. How can I have peace when I've lost someone I love? How can I have peace when I've been diagnosed with a disease? How can I have peace when I'm losing my home? How can I have peace when I got a child that who knows where he's at? How can I have peace when my marriage is on the rocks? How can I have peace through all that? How can I have peace when I can't pay the bills? Somehow, God gives us that peace in those moments we need the most, and we just keep moving on. Because, see, if we don't move on, we fail to walk into what God has waiting on us next. I want you to think about this. You're in a ride at Carowinds, okay, and you're standing in line. You know, the line moves forward, right? What if you just stopped? First, you'd be cussed at. Then you'd be ran over. And guess what? You wouldn't get to ride. You'd be stuck right there. I'm going to ride that roller coaster. I'm so excited. And then you just stop because you get scared because it looks higher. Ooh, it looks a little higher up here. I don't know if I'm going to do it. You just stop, and you miss out on the thrill of your hair in the wind. You miss the thrill of the woo-hoo. You miss the thrill of hearing Bob on the Cyclone. Woo! You miss that. You miss out on the opportunities. When we stop moving on with our lives, and you know what? Because God is alive, there is no door that is permanently shut. Do you hear me? There's no door that is permanently shut. I don't care who tells you what. You can come through the season you're in if God is in you. You can move forward and pass everything and get to where you're supposed to go. Trust him. It is not the end. There is not even... even if you're on your deathbed and you're laying there knowing the doctor gave you 2 hours to live, if you're in Christ Jesus, it is not the end. Because you can lay there with great peace. And I use Vance a lot, LaJune. I've used him many years as an example. Every time I go see Vance in the hospital, I'm the preacher, right? I'm big and bad and I'm strong. I'm the spiritual one, you know, Holy Ghost filled. And I'm going to go help Vance and pray for him and encourage him and, you know, because, you know, Pastor James in the house, you know, Pastor James rocking. Here I am, Brother Vance. I'm going in there. What happens? The role changes. I'm sitting like a congregation member, and Vance is preaching to me. And so I leave like I've been in service. Man, how can you be that way? His faith was so incredibly real. You know what changes our lives when our faith becomes real? Faith's got to become more than a byword. Faith's got to be more than, yeah, I believe. No, believing means that you live it when you can't see it. Faith is holding on and moving forward when you should be going backwards. Faith is not letting any wall stop you or any obstacle trap you. Faith is saying, I'm going to move on with my life no matter what comes my way. If there's a giant, I'll slay it. If there's a lion, I'll close his mouth. If there's a Red Sea, it'll be parted. Whatever it is, I'm moving forward with God and not letting nothing hold me back. And that's what Vance's testimony was. Man, nothing held him back. I mean, Vance had all kinds of health issues, heart and kidneys and cancer. And I mean, he had all kinds of problems. But not one time was he ever a victim. Them nurses would tell me, man, he's a crazy. He's a nut, man. He'd be in there, have me laughing, have me crying, man, talking about God and all this. I mean, my Lord, what a testimony to go out with your faith intact. Not one time did Vance ever say, preacher, I don't understand why God gave me cancer. I don't understand why I got this. He never uttered those words. He was always speaking words of how faithful God is, how faithful, how loving, how merciful his God was. And man, that seed's still in me now, all these years later. It's still there of hearing that. Man, that should be our testimony. Vance kept moving on. Oxygen tank kept moving on. Bone cancer, kept moving on. Couldn't breathe, kept moving on. You know, worried about his kid like all parents do, kept moving on. You know, just kept moving on, moving on, moving on with his life, moving on the next step, moving on to Word of God. Vance had a service for me, he did here one, I think it was a Wednesday or Sunday night, one. He's up here, you probably remember that. And he was up here, had the podium, had his oxygen tank with him, leaned on the podium, taught that lesson. I wasn't here that night or something. I don't think I was here that night. He filled in for me. Oxygen tank, leaned on the podium, preaching the word. Nothing stopped him. I'm going to keep moving on. We let the silliest things stop us. Now, let's get real. Let's get Walmart real, okay? You're in Walmart. You see somebody you don't like. Somebody says something to you. Didn't shake your hand. Didn't speak to you. Looked at you dirty. Spread a bad rumor about you. Whatever. And we avoid them. We're getting the mean look back. We're getting the eye. You know, you know what? You got to move beyond that, too. You go up to them, give them the great big, do a Cora hug. Go up to them, hey, how you doing? Oh, so good to see you. Watch their eyeball be about that big. Heap them coals on their head, man. I mean, bury them with it. Heap them and love them and get beyond that. Because if you don't get beyond that, you're stopping your own blessing and flow of what God wants you to do, what He has planned for you. So you got to get beyond that too. Don't let anything stop you from moving forward in God and with your faith. Look at 2 Kings chapter 2. This is a very familiar story of Elijah and Elisha, 2 Kings 2. And Elijah was about to leave the earth. It was his time for departure. And he had a great a guy he was training, a prophet of the Lord, called Elisha. Now look at what verse 2 says, chapter 2, verse 1. It came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here, wait here, I pray, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said to him, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. I'm not waiting on you. Where you're at, I'm going to be at. I want to be where you're at. I want to soak every moment up while you're here on the earth. I'm not leaving you. You're stuck with me. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came to Elisha and said to him, knowest thou the Lord will take away the master from the head today? He said, yes, I know it. Hold your peace. Then Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray, wait again, for the Lord sent me to Jericho. He says, the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. Then the sons of the prophets that were Jericho came to Elisha and said, do you not know the Lord will take away your master from your head today? He answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. Then Elijah said again, tarry, I pray you, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. He says, the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. Remember the Andy Griffith episode where Andy saved Gomer's life? He was laid down in the courtroom and the fumes had got him. He said, you saved my life. I'm not going to leave you. I'll be with you wherever you go. Remember, he's back in the middle of the night, mowing the grass, chopping wood. Wherever you go, Andy, I'll be there because you saved my life. And I'll be wherever you're at. I'll go with you. I'll follow you. I'll be your shadow. You see Andy's eyes like, oh, my gosh. You know, we need that kind of commitment with God. Lord, I'm going to go. I'm going to stay with you. I'm not going to leave you. Wherever you are, God, that's where I want to be. Whatever you have planned, that's where I want to be in the middle of it. God, I want to be in the middle of what you got going on, and I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to let my faith stay back here whenever you're calling me to go forward with it. Because my faith, once again, listen to this, our faith should not be determined by the victories we have. Our faith's more measured by the defeats we encounter. That's where true faith is tested. When we're down, we're in the valley. Where's our faith? It's easy to have faith when things are good. Man, I got overtime this week, got a new job, you know, just paid something off, got a new car, hallelujah. Woo, God's good. Then the repo man comes. Do we still say, woo, God's good? No, we say a lot of other choice words. Instead of saying, you know what? God's still God. And God can still make a way. Because see, understand, our faith needs to be measured by who God is. Not even what God does. Who God is. He is the Savior, the King of all creation. He holds this world in his hands. He's the resurrected Lamb of God, and he lives inside of us. We are the living tabernacles of the Holy Spirit. God is faithful. And if I've got that in me, how can I ever be discouraged? Man, I've got God inside of me. Everywhere I go, he's with me. In my tears, in my laughter, in my storms, in my victories, in the valley, on the mountain, God's with me and God is faithful. When I can't see a way, he's still the way. When I don't know where to go, he tells me where to go. Somehow, God in my weakest moments shows the greatest strength of who he is. That's who God is. I mean, to have such peace, only God can give that, to have that kind of peace. So he's not going to leave them. He said, I'm going to go with you wherever you go. Verse 7, and the sons of prophets, is that where we're at, verse 7? Okay. And the sons of prophets that were Bethel came to Elijah and said, knowest thou the Lord will take away thy master? Yes, hold your peace. Elijah said, oh, I didn't read all that. Yeah, he's behind. Go to verse, oh, I'm sorry, you're all right. See these eyes, church. A little dimmer than they used to be. I was on verse 4. Oh, I thought verse 3 said 7. Sorry. Let me stand back here. Verse 8. Verse 7. The men of the sons of the prophets went, stood to view far off, and the two stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so they too went over dry land. And it came to pass that when they were gone over, now here's the key, here's the point of this whole scripture. Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I be taken away from you. And Elisha said, I pray, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Then he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be done unto you. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, they still went on, and they talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them asunder, and Elijah went up into a whirlwind into heaven. If Elisha had not been with Elijah, he would have missed the blessing. The scripture is clear. If you see me when I'm taken, you'll get it. How could he see him? He had to be with him. He had to keep going on. He had to keep moving. He couldn't hold back in Jericho like he told him. He couldn't hold back in Bethel. He couldn't hold back here. He couldn't hold back here. He says, no, I'm going with you. I want to be with you to the very end. And because of his faithfulness to this prophet, because he wouldn't give up, because he wouldn't hold back, because he wouldn't stand back, because he said, I'm going to move forward, look what happened. Then it goes on to say, verse 12, goes on to say, and Elisha saw it and cried, my father, my father, the chariot of Israel, the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. He took a hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. Church, ain't that the way to go right there? Can you imagine? You're walking down the Beanie Weenie aisle at Walmart, right? And all of a sudden, see you, suckers. I'm out of here. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, to be able to see how He escaped the grave. He escaped death by the grave. He was translated from the living to the living. Just like the Bible says, there'll be a generation again that will not taste death. For the Bible says, all shall not die, but all shall be changed. That there'll be a generation of us that'll be the same way. That the translation will happen while we're still on this side. There will be just change in the moment and the twinkle of an eye. Boy, that's good news for us. Whether we're that or whether I'm that, I don't know. But I know it's going to happen, and I know there'll be a generation that sees that. So here is Elijah. Elijah's gone on in his whirlwind. Verse 13, he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. He went back, and he stood by the bank of Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had smitten the waters, they parted, and Elisha went over. The anointing fell. The mantle fell. The Spirit came upon him because he refused to stop and to stay back. He said, I'm going on because I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to miss a thing. I want to keep moving forward. You know, I said this before, our windshield is, you know, way bigger than our rearview mirror. Good reason for that, right? We should be looking ahead much more when we're looking back. If you're driving like this, that's a problem. We got the windshield big so that we can clearly see what's ahead of us. You know, it doesn't matter as much what's behind us. We pass that. It's what's ahead of us that keeps us safe. God wants us to keep on moving and not stop. Go to the next scripture. We'll try to get these out. I don't want to keep y'all all morning. Look at Luke 9. This is Jesus speaking in Luke 9, verse 57. It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said to him, "Lord, I'll follow you wherever you goest." Sure. Jesus said unto him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." He said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father." Now let me explain this verse. This is not cold-hearted of Jesus. It's not like he had just died and he's saying, "Let me go bury him right now." This is talking about his father was old or older, had some more years of living. He's saying, "God, I got an old parent I got to take care of," which is important to take care of our parents, yes. "I got to take care of my, you know, but once he passes on, then I'll come follow you." But see, that's not what God was asking. How much do we miss out on by not moving forward? How much of life do we miss out on by putting our life on hold and not following what God has for us? No matter what season we're in, there is something for every season of your life. I want you to hear this. It doesn't matter whether you're 6 years old or whether you're 90 years old. There is something for every season of your life. But you've got to keep moving forward to have that. With Beulah, I think about, even though physically she can't play volleyball anymore probably, and those kind of things. But you know what? She's an investment to her family. She's an investment to her seed, to her children, and to her grandchildren. And in the season Beulah's in now, she can be used greatly by the hand of God to show his love and mercy and wisdom of what God has shown her. And to give that to her family. To share that. Whatever season you are in, you can be used by God, but you got to be willing to go into that season. You can't say, "Oh, nope, not me. Nope, not me, Lord. Let me first do this." You know, people tell me, "Well, I'll get saved, preacher, but, you know, I've got to get through my, you know, well, I'm 18. I'm too young to get saved." Are you serious? People tell me that. "I'm too young. If I get saved, I'd start living right, you know." Well, you know what? You probably aren't ready for that if you're thinking, "I mean, really? I got to start living." You know what? It doesn't become a chore to live right when you truly get saved. I'm not saying they're not temptations, they're not struggles, yes. But when you truly get born again, you know what? God gives you new desires. And you're not rolling your eyes saying, you know, "Well, no, John, I can't go out at night and, you know, get drunk with you because, well, I'm saved." I mean, that if you're really saved, that's not your reaction. You know? You're like, "Nah, man, I don't do that no more. I just don't, that's not good for my life. God changed me. I don't need that no more. And I just, you know, I'm trying to help other people. And I don't, you know, people see that happening. Yeah, I can't be doing that. So, go get drunk somebody else. Can't get drunk on me no more." We're happy about it, you know? We're not rolling our eyes like, "Oh, yeah, I can't do that." No, that's not, I mean, if you're, it's like, have you really been changed? Because you've really been changed, your appetite changes. It changes. And your desires change. So he said, "Let me bury my father." Look what Jesus told him. Jesus said, "Let the dead," and he's talking about spiritually dead, "bury their dead, but you go preach the kingdom of God." Man, we can't put God on hold. He don't want to be on call waiting. Are you serious? Can you hang on a minute, Lord? You know, let me do my thing first. He's called you. What opportunities are we going to miss by not moving on with what God has planned for us? Moving forward with our lives. It doesn't matter how trapped you feel. You're never trapped if God's inside of you, because he has an exit door, a way of escape he's made for you. If you'll trust him and move on, say, "God, lead me out of this. I don't like being stuck where I'm at. Lead me out and pull me out of the mud that I'm in." And God will do that. But don't get satisfied in where you're at. "This is all God's got for me. It's all I'm going to be." You remember when we was kids, man, we dreamed about everything, didn't we? I could be anything, right? I could be president of the United States. I could be a scientist. I could be an astronaut. I mean, it seems foolish, right? As adults look back, like, "Yeah, boy, I could be an astronaut." Or you see that. But we understand with God, all things are possible. And don't shut your lives off to thinking because you don't have education, because your family name, because of your rap sheet, because of whatever situation you're in, because of who don't like you. None of that matters. If God's on your side, who could be against you? Man, God shows favor. Do you not know that? God shows favor. God can pick you out of the miry clay and set your feet up back on a solid rock. No matter what you've been through, what storm you've encountered, God is not done with you. There's another season for you to walk into. Quit wallowing around in the season of self-pity and say, God, I want to rise from my ashes. It's time for my mourning to be turned into joy again. I'm taking off the sackcloth and putting on your garment and moving on with what you have me doing, because you're not done with me yet. Keep on moving, church. God's not done. He's still working in you and alive in you. We get to a certain season, thank God, just stop working. You know, all the doors are shut. Boom, boom, boom. Maybe God's shutting the door. You thought about that? Sometimes we pray for doors to be open and they get shut. We blame God for that. Maybe God's shutting doors to keep your hind end out, because you ain't put to go in that door. Think about that. You ain't put to go in that door. So he shuts it tight. I prayed that too. Lord, we pray, me and my husband pray for things of the years, and God shut the door. Lord, I understand. Why? And then as you get, you know, a little on down the road and look back a little bit, you realize, yeah, God shut that door. He shut it for a good reason. I was trying my best to pry it open, but God shut it tight because he knew what was best for me. Not that door. Nope, not that door. God, not that door. Not that. Just wait for me to open the door. I mean, we can go down and try and kick down doors all we want, but it's not God's door. It ain't the right door. And that should be our prayer. God, I want the right door. I want to move on in the right season you have for me, whatever that is. Seasons are funny things. Another said, I'll follow you, Lord, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. Let me go tell them bye. Jesus said to him, no man, having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. That's pretty clear. You know, a plow, the reason you look forward, once again, is so that the rows are straight. You start looking back, you have crooked rows. Our path needs to be straight. God makes it straight. Don't look back. It doesn't matter what anybody says you were. It matters what God says you are. It doesn't matter all the mistakes you made. It matters you're redeemed now, forgiven forevermore, and justified by the glory and grace of Jesus Christ. He has wiped your slate clean. You have a fresh start and a new beginning. Don't let the voices of all those that have no understanding, and church, I believe this, please hear this, don't go get real life advice from someone who doesn't know the Lord. Amen. I don't care how smart they are. Well, they got a PhD, D. So? We were talking to someone the other day at a restaurant, me and Mally, and gave her a card of our church, and she is a Catholic. And, that's supposed to have shut the door for me, but it didn't, of course. So, don't shut the door for me. And her response was this, and it really bothered me in this sense. Maybe she's trying to get me off her back, and that's fine, but it just bothered me. She says, I'm very confident in my theological understanding. Okay. But do you know Jesus? I didn't ask her that, but that's what I'm sitting here thinking, but do you know Jesus? All the understanding doesn't mean anything if you don't know the truth. If you don't know the real truth. All the education, do y'all know some smart people that just do stupid stuff? And you know stupid people that do smart stuff? I'm one of them. Because, you know what? Sometimes all that gets in the way of the common sense. Right? I pick on Don, like an IT guy, right? Educated. All the wire, know what they hook to, know what goes to what, knows all the formats, you know, the cloud and the technology, and, you know, comes to look at the church computer, you know, and I don't know why it ain't working. He checks this and runs a scan and does this, puts all this, hooks all this stuff up like an ER doctor, scanning it. Don, it's not plugged in. Does that have anything to do with it? Oh, yeah. He didn't really do that. I'm just saying, that's kind of how it is spiritually. I mean, we're so over the top trying to figure things out. You know, Paul was a very educated man. Paul talks about that. He even boasts about that. I was trained by the best. Gamaliel, one of the greatest teachers of my time. I'm very educated. But he says, you know what? I'm forgetting all that. The only thing I really know is Jesus Christ crucified and risen. That's what it comes down to. Everybody wants the next revelation, right? And church, if you want the next revelation, this ain't the church for you, because the only revelation I know is Jesus Christ crucified and risen. And to me, that's the greatest revelation. That's the greatest life-giving words you'd ever have, is to know that the Lamb of God, free from all sin, took on all of our sin, that we could be reconciled back to God in right standing with Him, not by the works we do, by the work that He did one time at the cross that forgave us of our sins. When you understand that revelation, you start walking in victory and quit listening to the devil saying, well, maybe I ain't saved because I'm still doing that. Show me a perfect Christian and I'll show you an honest politician. It just ain't there. I mean, there is absolutely no perfect Christian. I mean, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to do things that, you know, aren't always right in God's eyes. But it does not mean we're unsaved or we're lost. Or if the trumpet sounded, I'd be in hell because, church, if I messed up one time and end up in hell, then what was the cross even about? It made no sense. The cross makes no sense then, okay? You come to save me, to forgive me of all my sins, but I messed up. Shouldn't have done that. Now I had a heart attack and died, and I'm in hell. That makes no sense to what the cross even represents. The cross represents redemption that we couldn't do ourselves. It represents healing that we couldn't bring ourselves. The Bible says, by His stripes we are healed. That He took the chastisement of our peace upon Him. That He was wounded for what? Our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Oh my gosh. That's the revelation. That's why we keep moving forward. We don't let other people or situations hold us back. We move forward with our lives. I know you may be in a rotten place right now, but you ain't got to stay there. Get out of that rotten place. Say, I refuse to stay here one more day. I'm not going to stay here no longer. God, I'm going to let You pull me out and lead me on. I'm not staying where You have me. I'm tired of being depressed. I'm tired of being afraid. I'm tired of all the stress. I'm tired of all the strongholds. I'm tired of all the lies. I'm coming out, and not tomorrow, but right now, I'm coming out. This is my day of deliverance and my day of salvation and my day of healing. I won't shed one more tear over what could have been when God still has it waiting on me. Glory. The door's not shut yet. It's still wide open. Church, we've got our whole lives to still serve and be what God wants us to be. You know, I think of Anna back there. Anna's right behind Von Seal. Raise your hand, Anna. Anna is one of our leaders of our senior ministry. Her and my mom kind of joint lead that. Anna lost her husband about a year ago. It's been a year. Almost a year. Lost her husband of how many years of marriage? 51 years of marriage. Now, when Anna lost Danny after 51 years of marriage, Anna could have just regressed back, said, you know what, I just don't want to do anything else. Life don't mean anything anymore. I've lost the one I've been married to for 51 years. I'm just going to sit in my house, be a recluse, and just wait till my time comes. But she didn't. She said, you know what, we talked, and she said, I want to serve in the church. I want to do something for God. And her and my mom, they lead a senior ministry. She does a devotional and leads, and she's doing something for God. She decided, I'm going to move on. You know, it's not my time to go yet. And though I miss Danny, I can't change it. So what I can change is what I can do here on the earth now. So I move forward. And I say, God, use me in whatever way You can use me. In her heart, if you don't know Anna, she has got one of the sweetest hearts of anybody I know. And I really mean that. Heart is so sweet. Heart is so pure. Heart is so giving. We all have hardships. We all have hardships. And church, I'm guilty too. There are times I let the devil knock me back, and I find myself being ashamed of myself. I'm like, what am I doing? I'm letting you, devil, win this battle? I'm James D. Lewis. And D stands for divine. I am James D. Lewis. And I can't believe I'm letting you get me this discouraged. And if we're not careful, we lose ourselves a little bit, don't we? We lose, you know, because, man, there was a time, me and Melly, you know, we first got married and we was, you know, younger and, you know, I first started preaching and, you know, all that. You know, there wasn't nothing we didn't believe in. I could walk through that wall if I wanted to. I'm going to walk through that wall. I ain't going to try it here in front of y'all. I'll practice a few times. But, you know, I'm going to walk through that wall. That's how much I believe in God. And then all of a sudden, here's what happens. Life gets hard. You know, you get
diagnosed with a sickness. You go through a divorce. You get a kid, your kid gets arrested or starts getting in trouble with the law. You know, you start having money problems. You lose your job, or you lose your home. Things start happening. And all of a sudden, all those little happenings start chipping away. If you don't stay fueled up with the Lord, you start getting weak and weak and weak. Till all of a sudden, you're talking like everybody else is. And you've lost that voice that you used to speak with authority. The same God, I want to tell you something, the same God that was in you in the happiest moment of your life, it's the same God in you right now. When you held that firstborn child and you saw the glory of God and you thanked him, Jesus, thank you for my seed. That seed right now may be causing you a lot of problems, but he's still the same God. He's still the same God in your misery as he is in your victories. And when you start realizing that and say, God, help me, strengthen me, show me the way. Lord, I want to walk again like I used to walk. We used to, you know, lay hands on things and we believed God would work. We believed in God. You know, we need to return back to that childlike faith. Remember the child, even children here, how they believe God can do anything. Times our kids have said, well, just talk to Jesus. He'll handle it. Gee, why not think about that? Yeah, you got a four-year-old Tay saying, hey, just talk to Jesus. Don't you know Jesus can handle it? Yeah. Well, then let him handle it. Well, yeah, but you don't what's that to understand, Mama? Jesus is alive, you told me. Yeah. You told me he could do anything? Yeah. Well, don't you believe, Mama? Well, yeah. Well, then believe. Well, yeah. Yeah. Believe. See, that faith should not be diminished because we got problems. I don't think any of us, we know we're going to have problems. I don't care how saved we are, if you want to use that term. We're going to have problems. You can talk in tongues 24 hours a day, you're going to have problems. In the middle of your tongue, something's going to happen. You'll get a phone call in the middle of your tongue speaking. There's things can change our lives in a moment. So it's not about all that. That's not where the power is at. The power is in knowing the Creator inside of you. The power is knowing God is my Lord and my King, and I trust Him with everything, every diagnosis, every curve, every turn, every storm, every unexpected event. I trust God with that, and I'm going to keep on moving. No matter what, I'm going to keep on moving. One more scripture, we'll close out. Acts 1:6. This is right when Jesus was about to leave the earth. He had rose to the dead. He'd walked the earth for about 40 days. He's about to leave them. This, to me, just really ties this message in perfect about how you got to keep moving on. When they were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said to you, it is not for you to know the time or the seasons, which the Father put in his own power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And what's the purpose of this Holy Ghost? For you to be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now how does this tie in? They just lost their master. Their king. They lost Jesus. And they're sitting there thinking, okay, you left us. What do we do now? He told them what to do. I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you some help. And you're to move on with that. I might be off the earth, but my message isn't. Glory. I might not be visible or touchable, but my message and what I've done and who I am is going to touch the whole earth for generations to come. So you keep moving on, disciples. I know you're going to miss me. I know you're going to be a little confused at first, but just trust me, because when I send you back this power, it's going to equip you to keep moving on to all the parts. Church, that's what we do. We keep moving on. When God saves us, we move on and we help someone else. And they get saved, they move on and they help someone else. We keep moving. The disciples had to keep moving. The message didn't stop because Jesus left the earth. That's when it really began. Keep moving on. It's time to keep moving on. Bruce, I want you to do something. I know I'm catching you off guard, and I just felt impressed to do this. I know you're going to roll your eyes, but that song you sing that I love, John loves it too. You know what I'm talking about? The one about, look where he brought me from. Can you do that song for me? Come on up here, brother. I want to do something this morning. This is a beautiful song. Me and John both love this song. God's brought you a long way. And maybe you're stuck right now in where you're at. You say, I can't get no further. I'm just stuck. You ever feel just stuck? I mean stuck. Like you, I don't know where to go. It's like that movie, Castaway. Mel Gibson? No, not Mel Gibson. Tom Hanks, sorry. Mel Gibson, that's my boy crush. Just playing. Remember he's standing at the end of that movie? Tom Hanks is standing at the crossroads in Texas. Nothing but dirt roads all four ways. He had lost his wife, his fiance had married someone else. His life had changed dramatically on that island all those years. He was totally stuck on what to do next. And the scene shows him at that crossroads looking all four directions. Maybe that's you right now this morning. You're at a crossroads. You're looking every direction but don't have any direction. As Bruce sings this song, I want to open up this altar this morning in closing. I know I'm trying to. What time is it? The clock's not working. It's what time? 20 after. Okay. I want you to open up this altar. I want y'all to know I try to be respectful of y'all's time. I do. But at the same time, I don't want to quench the Spirit of God as he's wanting to move. As he sings this song, I want to open up the altar. If that's you this morning, and you need direction, you need to get unstuck, you just don't know where to go, I want to encourage you, come talk to God. Say, God, get me unstuck. I need some direction in my life. I need to know, God, I'm not going to always be where I'm at, but I need the strength to move forward with my life. Come pray.
As I'm kneeling in the darkness, the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance that everything's going to be all right.
Thank you, Jesus.
I see another battle out in front of me, and I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. And he said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea, I spoke to the winds, and they hushed, and I gave you peace.
Thank you, Jesus.
And didn't I run to your rescue every time that you called? I walked right beside you so you wouldn't fall. And didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sins? I searched until I found you, and I would do it all again.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he said, do you remember where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you at how far you come. And every time that you asked me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you think that I wouldn't see you through? And he said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging seas, I spoke to the winds, and they hushed, and I gave you peace. And didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sins? I searched until I found you, and I would do it all again. And he said, do you remember where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you,
yes, Lord,
at how far you've come. And every time that you asked me, didn't I deliver you? Oh, so why would you think that I wouldn't see you through? And he said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging seas. I spoke to the winds, and they hushed, and I gave you peace. Didn't I walk on the water? The rising seas. I spoke to the winds, and they hushed, and I gave you peace. And didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sins? I searched until I found you, and I would do it all again. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
What you have for them.